When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Time for the Wolf and Owl podcast.
Oh, wow, you went in so big there. You went in so big, so cheeky. That's like trying to Rabona and like in your first touch of a World Cup final. And fucking tripping over your shoelaces.
You know, I think part of the problem is that Tom and I haven't spoken. You and I haven't spoken to each other. I keep doing this, addressing the listener like I'm a fucking Radio One. So you and I haven't spoken for a bit, and so we've basically done half an hour of podcasting before we clicked on record.
Yeah, we've done a big long chat,
completely unbroadcastable, potentially cancelable chat before we clicked on record.
Really lovely nice. Chat though, boy. Really. Lovely. Just nice.
So then what happened was I had to switch into catching up. Sort of, I say performance mode. It's not very performative, the podcast, but
I like is you always start every podcast in a performance type mode.
And then dip. Like, what I do is go in big early doors, regret it, and then I'm shit for the rest of the podcast, and then I ask you to review me at the end. That seems to be the pattern that we're falling into.
You know where I think of you, like if you were the Hulk, where your body change would be, you would go from Jack D to Tim Westwood.
I reckon the metaphor I'd use for starting this podcast is I'm at the point of ejaculation. Sort of that's where I am as we announced the beginning of the podcast, and then I'm just sort of post nut for the whole hour after.
You look nice though, boy.
Thanks, bro. Thank you.
What's that Gunners t-shirt on?
This is like one of those, this is one of the old Nike did load of these, like sort of, you know, these Arsenal cliches.
Yeah.
So I've got another one that says like 1-0 to the Arsenal or whatever. But I do like the Nike gear, but I prefer the Adidas gear.
Adidas, I don't know whether I'd swap the success of West Ham this season for some of the merch that you guys get at Arsenal. The merch is, if there was a Premier League for merch, you'd have won it by 50 points.
Shall I tell you what the problem with it is, though? Is that Arsenal have done so badly this season and for the last couple of seasons that when you can't, even as nice as I think some of it is, you can't really wear it without getting it like somebody going, fucking hell, mate. You must like the team to wear that at the moment or whatever.
Are your kids Arsenal fans?
They are. Our eldest son, Theo, is like, he's been watching loads of, I don't know if you're aware of this, Tom, but football is being consumed in a different way by our younger generations now, where they're watching the games, they're sort of analysing players via FIFA, they're watching a lot of YouTubers talk about football, And so my son, like Theo will say stuff to me. Like the other day we went to the shops and we're coming back and he's talking to me like, I don't know how to explain it. Like he'll say something like, Frank Lampard is one of the historic icons. And I go, where the fuck did you hear that from? Like, what are you talking about? And he goes, like, he's a historic icon. That's what I was watching. Like they were talking about historic icons, like from the game. And I said, yeah, I don't want you saying things like historic icon. All right. Who are you talking about?
In all fairness, bigging up Theo, my guy Theo, is the fact that, mate, he is a historic icon. Like,
I know he is a historic icon. But what I'm saying is, like, listen, Theo, I'm not criticising Theo at all, okay? Of course, why would I criticise that kid? The guy's a goddamn legend. He's managed to overcome the obvious genetic disadvantages his parent has given him to become the kid he is. And but what he does, what's funny is, like, He's got these opinions and information about players he's never seen play. I don't think he's got much memory of watching much of Frank Lampard. Do you know what I mean? But he's got this in-depth fucking working knowledge of he'll talk to me about percentages and stuff like that. And
I used to be, when I was young, I used to be a real stato.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is before the internet. I was like a football, what is known as a football nerd.
Why was that? Did you feel like you were too attractive at school as you were?
I was genuinely shit at football, right?
Yeah, me too.
Wasn't very good at football, but I loved the game. So I used to just know so much about it. So weirdly, when you're talking about like Theo saying that, I don't know if I'd have used historic icon, but I'd have known all of like Pele's stats. But worse than I'd have known something like, you know, Martin Peters' club stats or whatever. I'd have been able to turn around and sort of like, and I thought that was a really cool thing to be.
Mm.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? Right, because whenever we're doing, you know, you're doing a bit of stand-up or whatever, or you're looking at nerdish behaviour, it'll always be like, oh, yeah, library, bookish, or, you know, chess club or whatever. I was the version of that, but about football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I remember going away in England, it's just so muggy, in like 1998, and telling people, like, sort of, someone would be in a bar with me and they'd be talking about something, and I'd go, yeah, well, you know, in all fairness, like Gabriel Batistuta's scoring record, both club and internationally, is so much better than Alan Shearer's, whatever. I just know all the stuff.
Mm.
And I used to think that was really, really cool, but it was...
Yeah. So what I'm taking from that is, one, you're a bit of a nerdy stato, and also that when you're doing an impression of yourself in the most derogatory fashion possible, it sounds remarkably similar to the impression you do of me. I'll say almost identical.
Yeah, no, because you've got that bookish nature about you. Like, what I'm saying to people is, we're both nerds.
Yeah, we are nerds. Yeah. And like that is what happens when people that are really good at football don't know that much about stats, because they don't have to compensate for their involvement in the sport. You give them a football and they'll do something amazing with it. Whereas people like me and Tom, we have to read up and know all the to sort of basically earn your right to be considered a football fan, essentially. It's like how, I don't know if it happens now, and I'd love to know from any female football fans, but our generation of people, if a woman, and by the way, I'm not saying this is right, so don't at me, I'm saying this is wrong, I'm criticising this, I'm condemning it, actually, I'd go as far as to say. If a woman says they're a football fan, they cannot say that without a man asking them to name five members of the squad of the team they support, or going,
so,
all right then, okay, Who won the league last 3 years? League winners, go on then. Do you know what I mean? Or something like that. We, Tom and I, basically, because of our lack of physical ability, that's how we were treated, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Also, the other fact is, you know, let's be honest, the South Asian community has not got a great heritage in the game. Do you know what I mean?
Why do you think that is, though? Because, like, when I was growing up, some of the most skillful players, like, you're like, oh, this kid's definitely... I remember, like, when I was playing as a kid, like, we had, like, two or three kids who were incredible, like, so skillful. And you go, oh, he's definitely going to get signed up. None of them did. Mm.
We are getting quite deep. And I don't know. It's like when you hear about racism against football players, you think, I know it's not an Asian player because there aren't fucking any.
Going back to, you know, the thing about, you were saying about, like, women now, and I think it's been great with punditry. It's like anyone you speak to about Alex Scott is that she is the best read, like most incredible pundit that you'll meet on the basis of her research and how much she knows about every single, like literally turning up and going, like, I am going to be judged upon this. so I need to know every little thing.
I don't know what it's like being an Alex Scott trying to make your way in that world, man. I mean, it must be fucking insane. Do you know what I mean?
It's I think Karen Carney, I think they're both too, but I think, especially Alex, I think she's so knowledgeable about the game.
Yeah.
Like, I can only imagine how hard that is. I'm talking like as a guy who, you know, if I say I'm a football fan, there's no one going, "You're a football fan." Yeah. I look like, you know, a fucking, yeah. I don't look like a player. I look like
you
a
look
fan.
Like you've been you've thrown some patio furniture about, you know. you look like you've stared down the barrel of a water cannon.
I've had it thrown. I got caught up in '98. It was the most terrifying thing ever. It's a horrible story. This.
What happened?
So we go out to France 98 and we're in Marseille and it all kicks off. It was kicking off everywhere.
How
and
difficult time, was it for you to get it all started? Did it? I mean,
quite easy, actually, just through the right insults at the right people. we'd gone out for sort of like lunch and I had a bit of, and I had a burger, but it was like really rare, this burger. It was the first time I had a really rare burger. Mm. And I was like walking around in Reebok Classics and then the England white shorts and the England like white shirt, so yeah, proper sort of full kit wanker.
Yeah,
and basically all this trouble erupted, and you know that thing where people are someone threw a chair at my back, and I pretended it hadn't hit me. fucking thing of like, if I turn around, it will just like fucking the whole thing will just grow, it will escalate. So I'm just gonna pretend it didn't hit it. Like, and so like someone, this chair whacked me against the back, and the person I'm with went, "Did a plastic chair just hit you on the back?" And I was like, yeah, don't worry about it. So really looking forward to seeing what Michael Owen's like as a player. Tears in my eyes.
Absolutely.
Half my pint.
Yeah. You're not sure if you're going to be able to walk properly tomorrow.
Half my pint down the front of my white shirt, right? Anyway, this whole thing starts erupting around us. And I sort of think I'm going to pull myself out of the situation a bit more and sort of go down in my pint. And then these guys just all rush us. And I saw the look in about four or five of their eyes, which was like, we're going to tackle this big guy, right? And I got thrown to the ground and someone sort of like kicked me. And and as this is happening, like the pain of like, being kicked and whatever and sort of like, muffled sort of whatever was one thing. But the actual, like, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to shit myself, right? And I remember the feeling of like literally like someone kicking me and then my stomach just literally erupting, right?
So you're actually getting beaten up?
Yeah, I'm getting like kicks and trampled on where people are just scuffling. I'm not like, and I farted and followed through basically, right? And I felt it. And then someone looked down at like, and there was nowhere to hide. As I was trying to get up, there was just shit on the back of my shorts and on the back of my shirt, right? It was like Jackass kind of vibes. And I got up and everyone's like, there was still a muff. It wasn't like the whole thing stopped and everyone, like a fucking Hollywood movie, and stared at me. But I sort of tried, and my mate was like, oh my God, like it was all like literally the most disgusting thing I've ever sort of been part of. And then I sort of like had to try and sprint away from the whole thing and sort of just like had to try and make it back to my sort of B&B. It's covered in poo.
Do you think your body just sort of had, you know, like how, when they say things like you don't really know what you're capable of until you find yourself in a situation like that. Do you think your body, because I always think of you as quite an outside the box thinker. Do you reckon your body just went,
we could either
pump enough adrenaline into this guy's system that he starts to defend himself and he's able to handle himself, or we could just clear an area around him by making him shit himself immediately. I mean, in a way, it's amazing. It's an amazing defense mechanism.
But you know, like your brain, like the first part of your brain when you're born, right? The first bit of it is your survival instincts.
Yeah.
So it's fight, flight, or freeze, right?
Right.
I've added shit yourself, feces to that one. It's like that's basically where I'm at. Like,
if you were a superhero, you'd be called the skunk.
Yeah, I just shit everywhere. Fucking what a dignifying thing.
Don't piss him
Superman,
off.
Superman, like.
Don't scare him. No, because
we got this guy coming over from England. Yeah, they call him the skunk. Hey, guys. Yep. What's your superpower? Well, when I'm really up against it, I'll shit myself.
Yeah. And then what do you do? No, that's it. That's it.
Then I usually just scurry away into the shadows.
I've never been to an England game.
Never.
And the reason is because I've had so much racism at England games, like in pubs and.
You've had it.
Yeah, loads of times.
Yeah.
I've either had it directed at me, right, or I've seen it directed like at the TV or whatever. And I've had mates of mine, like I remember when England played Tunisia, I'm sort of laughing because it's so fucking racially misguided. Just when England played Tunisia, a group of Asian mates of mine just basically got targeted as if they were fucking Tunisian. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's like, so you see so much of that. And that, I've got to be honest with you, it sort of affected my support of England football team. Do you know what I mean? Because you sort of think, I really want to support England and I love, you know, and I want England to do well and I feel English and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I'm now supporting the same team. Do you know what I mean? As these people that are saying this sort of stuff or doing this sort of thing, I found it difficult. I've had a troubled relationship with them.
I can't even begin to, that's just horrible. I think that, you know what, the truth of the matter, that's a really, I went away with England quite a lot. And it's horrible when I've seen it in pubs. I remember when we lost to Portugal and they smashed, you know, England fans smashed up a Nando's. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're going, you know, and that's the worst side of it. But I do think the trouble is it's such a small minority of fans. When you're away, and I would say for the most part, you're going to meet loads of other football nerds and people that you get on with and are lovely people. The sad point of it is that there's always going to be that element of, you know, and I hate to see it. It's a horrible thing.
You've absolutely hit the nail on the head there, like totally. Because the truth is I would have that experience or I'd see that going on. And this is my mistake now off the back of that. I would go, fucking hell, I'm not supporting England or I don't want to go and watch England or I don't want to put on an England shirt because of what I've seen. But you're absolutely right. Most England fans, the vast majority of England fans are fucking sound. Like, would you know, yeah, you wouldn't have any trouble with them. And actually, what you can't do is what I'm doing is destructive there, because you're sort of going, you're taking these actions of this very small, dickheaded minority, and you're allowing that to tarnish your whole experience. Do you know what I mean? It's exactly the opposite of what you should be doing, to be honest.
And it's you know, the other thing, that the best thing about going to those tournaments isn't even the England fan, it's like hanging out with different people from different and seeing how, like, I went to a few England games, but in '98 and, you know, other years, you go to watch other teams and see how they'll be in, yeah, how they'll love watching the game, how they, you know, having drinks with like fans from, yeah, you'd never ever meet people.
Oh, it's amazing. Just sort of hanging out with different cultures, laughing at their accents, they smell a bit different, all that kind of stuff. I get you.
No, but how they love the game, it's for me, that's where football is the most beautiful thing, because it just brings everyone together. And I will say that it is that thing as well, where you, I think in the later few years, you go, yeah, you are kind of, you got your wariness about you because of, you know, the Russian element, or, you know, it is a different, that's the sad thing. I think that's the saddest thing that football has, is that sort of element of mob mentality.
We're 20 minutes in here. It's been pretty heavy shit, man. Do you know what I mean? Do you want to get into some politics?
Nah, let's leave the politics. Let's do that next time. You know what I think is quite nice is that, man, let's have the wolf and owl ride out, man.
Yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get. Well, you don't know what topics we're going to cover. You don't know what order we're going to cover them in. There might be a massive gear change. A lot of people are calling us the podcast version of the one.
Do you want a gear change?
Go on.
Put your foot on the clutch. My garden looks sick, boy.
What?
My garden looks sick. I've really enjoyed being a green fingers this last weekend. I've loved it.
Is this what you've done the whole weekend?
Yeah, man. Move some shit around.
Talk me through what you did.
Move some plants around.
Yeah.
Planted a couple of trees that look good. Mowed the lawn. Cartured the patio, which we've got some fucking birds that have nestled up in a fucking gutter, and so they shit everywhere.
Yeah.
What's the score with birds living in your gutter? And they just live there rent-free and shit wherever they like. It's literally the worst thing.
Difficult to get into a situation where you are collecting rent from them. But
no, but they all, if it was magpies, they're always like picking up treasures and stuff. But no. No, but it is.
So, what,
like,
do you think? How do you think it works? If you've got magpies, you can help yourself to a little brooch as part of their ongoing. I think you're. Aren't you supposed to get rid of them?
No, you can't.
What do you mean you can't?
This is actually for the RSPB, actually, to get in touch.
Yeah,
give us a shout. What is the score with bird nests? Can you get rid of them or can you keep them?
How many bird nests are we talking?
We've got one bird nest just above my head at the moment.
Right, and what's it like, and what's in happening? The gut ring. Isn't it nice, though, to have a bit of wildlife?
Not bit. No, because there's shit everywhere. They're disgusting. They're, like, literally pooing all up the side of the house. I had to get the cartridge out twice this weekend. First time, I really enjoyed it. Second time, it felt like they were laughing at me. Yeah, what's your garden like? Has it got a lot of flowers and plants in it?
So, actually, Lisa did a bit of she did a bit of a garden tidy up at the weekend. And we have made the I would describe it as a mistake. We have made the mistake of putting astro down, like fake grass or whatever. Yeah. And it's insane. It doesn't look anything like grass.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
It's such a mental surface. And then the other day, it blew up like a rug.
Oh, no.
It's just so embarrassing. I don't know how to explain. It's like your skirt's lifting up in the wind or whatever.
Yeah, or it's like, you know, a bloke walking down the high street with what he thinks is a really well-fitting wig.
Yeah. You sort of think, and sort of people, I feel like when it blows up like that, I just feel like people are going, that family are so fucking lazy. They think they're too good to go and mow their lawn. And
look, have you got flowers and stuff? Or
not really. A bit. There's a bit around the edges, but
you know what? I have a real respect for Titchmarsh because it's hard toil, mate, moving around plants and stuff and keeping them nurtured and lovely and looking nice.
Why are you doing? By the way, this question isn't as facetious as it sounds. What I'm asking is, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because at some point in the future, when those bloom or whatever, I don't know how the seasons work, but when they do, are you going to go out there with Catherine and you're going to sort of, I can imagine you just sort of putting your hands on your hips and you go, well, this is where the hard work really pays off. Take a look, girl.
You know what, Ron?
Or are you doing it for the journey?
All right, no, I'll tell you, the journey is almost instant, mate. It's like getting on a tube and you're there. So yesterday, I cracked open a beautiful cold, ice cold bottle of WoW Hydrate.
Oh, fuck off.
After a toilless day in the garden, I looked around, I went, just said to myself, the garden is looking good. The garden looks nice. Well done. And I just sort of smiled to myself and it looks nice, boy.
So what plants are we talking at?
We've got some beautiful roses that have come. I don't know all their names. Mm. We've got some nice red ones, some pink ones.
Great.
We've got a couple of big trees. You know the ones that look like a ball on the end of that's you've got the straight bit that
like
goes
like a lollipop tree.
Yeah.
We've
got a couple of those.
Do you have to check how they're going to affect your neighbour's light or whatever when you plant those?
No, I didn't check.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not asking. Did you check? I'm asking. Should you check? Is that what you're
saying? I don't think so. I hope that they're fine. I'm honest with you.
Do you reckon you could stick a photo up on the Instagram for us?
Yeah, I'll do it. What, of the trees?
Yeah, of the whole garden, I think.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Great.
You should do one of you lying on your AstroTurf and just your knickers.
We're moving house soon and we're going to have a bigger garden in that new place and I'm a bit nervous about all that.
mate, you've got, you know what you've got to do is you've just got to completely fucking enjoy it. You've got to make the garden your friend.
I just know that I just won't get it right and I'll find it frustrating. And everyone will say to me, oh, it's really relaxing when you do a garden and it'll become this new thing to have a hang up about. I mean, like, something will die and then I'll be convinced that's a sign of the fact that I can't keep things alive. Then I'll start worrying about the children and Lisa. Do you know what I mean? It's just... I know what'll happen.
The truth of plants is some of them are going to live. Some of them, they are robust things. You've brought up three beautiful kids, right? But let me tell you now, right? The way you say, oh, you know, I'm going to fail at it and da-da-da. My garden has been trial and it's been error. I've been here for 2 years, right? I've messed stuff up. I've put stuff in the wrong places. But now I've started moving things around. I look around it and I'm thinking, you know, in a way, it's like being a plastic surgeon. Yeah. So at some point you're going to get like someone's nose, you're going to over-egg the pudding a little bit and make it too pointy. But you can always go back and
I don't think you could in that case, really? Actually. I think you're looking at a lawsuit there probably.
All right. Well, right, okay. All right, it's like it being a hairdresser.
Right.
Right? I might shave a little bit off too much off the side one time. But when the guy comes back, I know not to do that again.
Sure.
Or, you know, a guy, you come into me and say, oh, I really want a ponytail this month. And I go, all right, okay, hair's long enough. We can do a ponytail. The next month you come in and said, you know what, actually, instead I want a French crop. And I'm like, yeah, mate, you can have whatever you want. Times change, things grow back. And that's what a garden is.
I wonder what a reaction would be of a hairdresser if somebody with long hair went in and said, you know what, I really want a ponytail. And the hairdresser goes, sorry, are you saying that you need me to show you how to do a ponytail? Yeah, really, I've always wanted a ponytail, right. So your hair's long enough. But... yeah, I know, but I want to put it into the tail. How'd you do that?
Have you ever had a ponytail?
No, I haven't.
I did back in the day.
You know you didn't. When did you have a ponytail?
I had an undercut.
Oh, yeah, I did undercut as well, but I never grew it long enough for a ponytail.
You could put it up like that and just have a little ponytail.
What's your take on these? Listen, I was about to get into very judgmental about top knots here, but, you know, the top knots are great. They're great. They're really great.
Yeah, you know what? I'd have one. I think I'd carry one off of a prom. I've got to say, man, I keep on getting targeted by hair clinics.
Saying what?
Just do you want some free plugs? And I'm like, there's times when I can't sleep at night or I get up a little bit early in the morning, I'm just lying there with my own thoughts. And, I reminisce of that, you know, that heady summer where I had like fucking an undercut and fucking I could wear it up in a ponytail or wear it down. And when I sort of get out of the pool, I can just swash it around and stuff. And then I think about, you know, when I had like fucking like a French crop or, do you know what I mean? I used to love having hair. And sometimes I look back at it and think, fuck, man.
Tom, yeah, but okay, but how would you deal with that? So let's imagine that you go, yeah, thank you. I will, in exchange for mentioning it 1,000 times on the Wolf and Our podcast, I will get some free hair plugs or whatever. So you do that, right? And then what? The next, how are you planning, how would you plan on unleashing that on the world? Because, you know, people are aware.
I think you've got to be, no, but you've got to be honest with people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course you have to be honest with people because you're currently bald. So if you turn up with a full head of hair, yeah, you have to be honest with people. I think the hair does the job for you. What I'm asking is, how will you play that off? Will you go, I've just been to, is it in Turkey or do you stay in the UK?
No, there's two different ones, one in Turkey, one in London.
Right, okay.
You know what, mate? If I'm honest with you, I'd say, I'm not even thinking of doing it really, at the moment. I think, because what I want from my hair is like a really big, like I want to go back big. I want to, you know, a sweet look of, you know, the fucking length there, boy. But I'd probably just say to people that, you know, I miss having my hair so much. Yeah, you know, it's like buying a new dog, isn't it? I suppose, in a way.
Is it?
I don't know. Or I think things are becoming more normal now. They're normalised.
Yeah.
Some of our biggest icons and some of our biggest heroes have had it done.
Like who?
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Tubes from Soccer AM.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a few other people that I'm legally probably not allowed to name, but I could, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people have had it done. There's nothing wrong with having it done. I've got no.
If I was to say to you, Mavid Sneckham.
Right. Can I just ask, what are you trying to do there?
What? No, I'm just saying, I can't legally say.
So you're clearly talking about David Beckham, but why? What?
You can't legally say that.
You can't legally say that David Beckham has had hair plugs.
it's been speculated upon in some of the media.
What, and has he threatened legal action?
Not against me, but I don't want to get into that with him because I admire the guy.
I admire the guy too, but has he refuted it? Do we even know that he's anti being called out for it? Can you Google it, please, now? David Beckham hair plugs or Mavid Snecker, or whatever alias you've given him.
Hold up, look, wait there.
What?
David Beckham shows off his thinning hair 2 years after his hair transplant.
Oh, yeah, look at that. What does that mean?
So he has had it and he's...
He has had it and then what?
He has admitted to it as well. Full credit, actually, to him.
So David, but hold on, why has he had hair transplant but now it's thinning again?
I don't think it lasts forever. God, he's so cool, David Beckham, isn't he?
What makes you say that?
Just looking at pictures of him. It's just a picture of him, right? He's just wearing, like... There's a picture of David Beckham here, right? And he looks so cool in an outfit that the difference of David Beckham wearing this outfit and me and you wearing this outfit is, for David Beckham, you look and go, fucking hell, he's absolutely owning that. He smashed it. Mm. Me and you wearing this outfit is like, oh, God, have you seen... Like, we've just given up. Can you see the picture?
Yeah, I can see the picture. I think he looks amazing. I think there should be warnings on pictures like that, you know, because you look at David Beckham and you think he looks great. And then what happens is somebody like you and I decide that we're going to make an effort and do something about our appearance or whatever. And then we buy a similar outfit.
Yeah.
And you look like an absolute bellend.
Yeah. There should be someone just there to say, don't wear that, mate.
Yeah. I mean, there is Lisa. I mean, Lisa's called me out on a number of things, actually.
Catherine's incredible for that, I've got to say. Mm. Like the other day, I put on something to go for a dog walk, which wasn't that far away from what David Beckham's wearing in that picture.
Mm. What did she say?
She went, "You're not going out like that, even for a little walk with a dog."
And what did you say?
Oh, I got changed immediately.
Did you get grumpy?
No. She's always right about stuff like that. Mm. We have that mirror you see behind me there.
Mm.
Right, that mirror is one of the worst things I've ever spent money on.
Why?
Because it makes you look fucking great in stuff you're wearing.
Yeah, but...
You look in that mirror and you go, oh, fucking hell, I'm smashing it. And then you walk past it in a shop window, and you're like, oh, my God, I look like I've been poured into this outfit.
Do you know what I hate? There's a certain angle, I think it's like three quarters on, that you're at your sort of girthiest, right? Mm. And every impromptu photo that's ever been taken of me is at that angle for some... It's like my body wants to go... It's like something about my brain goes... I want you to cry about this photo later. So I sort of position myself into this thing to look at my absolute fattest.
Yeah, but you know, the truth of it is, no one stands front on to a fucking picture.
So why the
you
fuck?
You look insane.
Why the fuck? Like completely front on in a mirror? You stand completely front on.
Yeah, yeah.
And you stand like that, and you breathe in, and you go, and then you go, that's how I'm going to look to everyone all day. What the fuck are you talking about?
We had a mirror once that was so disillusional, though, right? I think I'd seen you around this time. Like, it was a very small part of my life. I went through a phase of thinking, oh, I'll wear my shorts. So when I wear shorts, right, I'll give them a little couple of rolls to give them a little bit of fucking... I hate bagginess. I hate when shorts flare up at the bottom.
So you're pin rolling your shorts?
Yeah, I would pin roll them a couple of times, right? And I looked in this mirror and I was like, looking pretty cool. I look pretty fucking cool, right?
I've often thought, when I've seen you in shorts, on the occasion that you do wear them, I have always thought to myself, I wish you'd show a little bit more leg. So it's nice that you're rolling them up a bit.
So how
high were you going up? Just sort of...
I went like two pin rolls, yeah? And you're a G at pin rolling, I've noticed that, right? I can pin roll nice, right? Two pin rolls, right?
Yeah.
So I pin rolled these a couple of times. I look in this mirror behind me and I'm like, I look good. Boy, it looks good. I'm smashing life, right? Yeah. I've had all the day at work. I'd had some meetings and stuff and caught up with some people. And I was going for a couple of pints in Soho. I think caught a look of myself in the fucking window.
Mm.
I specifically remember it in the window of Soho Theatre Bar.
Yeah.
And it looked like I had fucking Daisy Dukes on.
Walked past Soho Theatre.
Yeah.
Thirstily looking through the window, see if there's any media types for you to go and have a drink with.
Right. And I look in and I genuinely look like I've got Daisy Dukes on. It looked like I had hot pants on. So in my mind, let me just I'm wearing them like this, yeah?
Yeah.
And the truth is they're like that.
Oh my God.
Right?
So just below your ball bag for the benefit of the listener.
Yeah. Yeah. So I look like I'm basically just going, I really like my legs, I'm getting them out. Like, and my legs at the time were quite tanned, but yeah.
You've got nice legs, actually.
Yeah. But it's one of my main attributes. And yeah, summer comes, I like to get them out.
Yeah.
And then I had a t-shirt that was too fucking tight. It was just not a good look. I shudder now.
I know.
To think about everyone who saw me that day. Rupert Magendie took a picture of me that day.
Yeah. Isn't it horrible when somebody takes a picture of you and they see you in a horrible position like that? I wonder who would do that. I know that's right. You did that to me when I came to the offices recently.
No, I only got that through because Rupert did it to me a few times.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you carry on the abuse. You don't pay it forward.
No, but you looked cute in that day.
No, you knew exactly what you're doing, and you put it straight up on Instagram.
You were looking at your phone, looking like really sort of docile and cute.
You're such a dick. The fact that you remember the fucking photo tells me everything I need to know about your motivations. Because if you were truly innocent, you'd have gone, what photo was that then? But you knew straight away.
I've got some beautiful photos of you. Mm. Do you remember when I had that nude app where I could sort of, you could make like the blocking around your feet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we had some fun with that.
Lisa and I have been talking because the Swan is actually quite self-conscious about her physique. She probably won't like me saying this, but she does get nervous with no reason, by the way. She's an absolutely delightful woman. But we were both having this chat. We went out at the weekend, went to Fish. Shout out to Fisher's Farm Farm Park. Very nice time for all the family.
Living it up.
And it's such a weird thing, isn't it? The sun comes out, you get excited about the summer weather, but at the same time, you start getting nervous about the fact that you can't hide behind layers anymore, right? Do you know what I mean? You can't, you've got to start.
Yeah.
You're potentially staring down the barrel of just a single layer between you and the elements. Do you know what I mean? And t-shirts, it's so difficult to buy a t-shirt that's the right size and is flattering. And I'd say for somebody in our kind of awkward stage, almost impossible. Go on.
No. I'm going to do a shout out for you here.
Go on.
Because I struggle like fuck with this vibe.
Okay.
I'm tall. You've got like myself, right? So you've got a lot larger upper body, right?
Yeah.
A longer upper body.
Yeah.
Then you have a tummy, right? Yeah. Shout massive out. Right, number one, I'm going to say Rugman t-shirts, the ones I'm wearing now, amazing. Shout out. This is no product placement. They're incredible. They fit well.
Right.
But also, shout out to just a plain ASOS. ASOS do a plain white t-shirt, right?
Right.
That is, I brought two of them the other day, and I wore them out. We went out for me and Catherine. Like yourself, t-shirts are the worst fucking thing.
Yeah.
Because they'll cling to shit.
Yeah.
They'll fucking hold to shit. You can't put a jacket on to fucking hide them. Do you know what I mean? I wear an overshirt all the fucking time.
Yeah,
you know, overshirts are literally like wearing a baggy dress for a
guy. Correct.
Right? They're like amazing. They look cool.
It's like putting on a smock.
Yeah. Honestly, they're so fucking nice. The cut of them is G.
Okay.
So I'll send you the link.
All right.
Okay. And they fit beautiful. And it's still got that kind of that 90s rep of how a 90s t-shirt used to fit.
Okay. All right.
Before everyone got into slim fit. But I reckon every couple up and down this, you know, within, obviously there'll be a few that don't, who couldn't give a fuck or looking good. Me and Catherine have had this exactly the same conversation.
Rank, isn't it? It's like a ritual. We're about to go out the door. Lisa goes, do I look like a fat old cow in this? And I say, do I look like a fat old prick? And then we'll say no, and we'll both assume the other one's lying, and we'll just go out anyway.
Mate, we went out for dinner the other night, and we had the same thing. Like, you know, both going over what you're wearing. Because you're out of practice, right?
Yeah.
We haven't been leaving the house. We've become like completely fucking at one with like the way we look because you're with the person that you love and like fucking adore the most. So we've become like in a world where we're like, oh, this is what we look like. This is what we'll wear. And all of a sudden you're, because you don't, there's no judgment really. There shouldn't be any judgment at home, but
yeah,
shouldn't be any judgment anyway. But once you leave your front door, you're then, oh shit, I'm playing golf later and I'm already in my head, what am I going to wear?
Mate, is this planning what you're wearing? And I'm going to start... You start thinking to yourself, is it because I'm vain? And it's not because you're vain. It's because, well, look, there's a vanity to it. But it's not because you think you look amazing. You know when people go, I just want to look stunning one day, or I want to look gorgeous for the day. You know what I want to look like? I want to look like I just want to look like a regular human who doesn't pass their own reflection in a shop window and feel like crying. Is that too much to ask?
I want to look like a puddle of dog shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. I don't want to look like somebody that makes other people wince as they walk past you. Okay?
That's so the you know dream. The worst thing is pity.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're wearing the same as someone, but they wear it better? Like, exactly the same.
Yeah. We had this one of the producers on Misadventures, this guy, Morgan, a really good-looking, slim bloke. And we bought the same kind of overshirt, this sort of nudie jacket thing. And honestly, mate, I walk in and I see him wearing it. It looks like a different garment, bro. It looks like he spent 300 more pounds on his one than me because of the way it sits on him. It's just insane. To the point where, you know, oh, I've got that jacket. And then somebody else just goes, oh, have you?
I go, yeah. I'm wearing it now.
Yeah, I've worn it. It's so horrible. You're just looking at it going, oh, that is how the people who made the jacket wanted it to look.
And can I tell you about...
Go on.
This is awful. Well, I played golf the other week with Jamie and Harry, right?
Yeah.
Basically, I'd forgotten my golf trousers.
Right.
So I had to go and buy... And I've got I like my clobber, right? I've got some incredible golf trousers that fit me nice as a bigger guy. Shout out Lululemon, right? So...
Jesus Christ.
So I had to go to the golf pro shop.
Well, listen, if you'd have said to Tom Davis of 10 years ago, in 10 years' time, on a podcast, you're going to say the word, shout out Lululemon.
Right, listen. I zip in nice. I go in, I say, have you got any golf trousers for me? And this guy's like, oof, look me up and down. And it was like, no, I don't know if you've sort of got it. Let me see what I can do. He was a lovely guy, absolute gentleman. But he's come back and all he had was like my waist measurement, but a 32-inch leg, which is like 4 inches.
It's a three-quarter length for you, right?
Yeah. No, it's about there. It's right. I'm about 35.
Yeah. You know. So just so you know, guys, Thomas gestured with his hand how much shorter they'd be. Once again, about 30 episodes in, showing yet again his failure to appreciate this is an audio medium.
Right. Right. Anyway,
and then then we video these. I don't know if you're thinking we're going to show, but the idea that this would be the fucking clip that we put out.
Anyway, that was a day where I'm playing with everyone's dressed drippy,
right?
And not just the people I'm playing with, the people before and after.
Sure. You're on a drippy course, right?
Yeah, and then I turn up and I've got ankle swingers on, and I've had to pull the ankle swinger. It was either I have my butt. I either wear a fucking low rider jeans with my thong out, or I wear them up with a pair of ankle swingers.
Yeah.
So in the end, I tried to wear them sort of a bit down, but then pull my polo shirt a bit further down and wear a baggier polo. Yeah, it was a fucking absolute. And then I looked across and saw Jamie and everyone. It looked so fucking drippy.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's a horrible. Yeah. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Should we go to some emails?
Let's do it, baby.
This is from Michael White. He says, morning, Wolf, Owl and the Swan. I just wanted to start off by saying how much I love this pod. That's enough blowing smoke at your asses, he says. Yeah.
Wow.
Which is, thank you so much for the kind comments. We do read all the kind comments, but we don't read them out because I find it nerve-wracking, embarrassing. After some advice from my friend and my brother's unborn child, my partner and I were due to get married last October 2020, but due to COVID, we needed to push it back to October this year. And that time, my brother and sister-in-law are now having a lockdown baby. There wasn't much to do in lockdown apart from having sex, which is excellent news. And when they told us a few weeks back they were having their first baby, we were super happy for them both. Only issue is that her due date is 2 days before our wedding. Nice. Talk about bad timing. Myself and my partner are not worried about the attention being taken away from us. We're not that type of people. The bigger issue is that my brother and his girlfriend won't be able to have a good time or enjoy themselves. They should be ready to blow at this point and should be overdue by two days. At this point, I'm really struggling to know what he's asking us to do advice-wise in this situation. But the biggest worry is that there is a good chance they could miss the wedding completely if she goes into labour the night before the morning of the wedding, which would result in them not being able to come. I know that decision is totally out of their hands, but I might be able to postpone our wedding to 2022, and that would ensure they're both there for our special day. Just want to add that me and my brother are very close, pretty much speaking every day. In Wolf words, he's my guy, and he has a sweet soul. What advice can you give on this matter? Are we best to go along with our date this year and fingers crossed that the baby's early? Do I look to postpone again, but then face a massive backlog due to wedding being moved due to COVID? My partner and I really want to get married this year after what happened last year, but we want to have all our family there, and certainly my brother and sister-in-law. You guys are invited to the wedding. I know Tom loves a wedding. Peace and love, Mike.
Mikey White. Yeah, boy.
Mike White, with a little bit of a wedding email. Need some advice.
Yo, let me say this. I hope it's a white wedding, yo.
Do you know what? I know you were doing like a thing, like an ironic joke thing there, but you still looked proud. It was so horrible to watch.
You're an absolute prick. You're such a prick. Literally, that was such a fucking AJ uppercut. Just Klitschko thinks he's got a fucking blow. He come in with a fucking shly little uppercut. Listen.
Yeah, go on.
Mike. Love you, bro. Wanted to say that for a start. You seem like a fucking absolute
that's
the best.
That's how you start a relationship with someone in Tom's world. You say you love them.
Yeah, but listen, Mike White, you're a fucking G, bro. Because you know what, Mike? I can tell you this. You're worried about all kinds of things at the moment. And you don't say it, but I think you're worried about your sweet lady, your missus, in all the mix of things. And I think there's something to be said about the fact that postponing a wedding twice is going to have, you know, I guess is just a bit of a shocker. It's going to be pretty difficult because then you're going to always be thinking, how important is your wedding in the scheme of things? Because every time you move it, because you don't know what's going to happen next year or the year after. Do you know what I mean? You're just always going to, is it going to be the thing you constantly move? That said, you know, you seems like you and your bro and your sister-in-law, you know, you've got an incredible relationship, very solid relationship, and you obviously want them there. I mean, I kind of think for the most part, I would say, keep the date as you have it. But then your relationship with your brother seems so solid and so, and it seems a thing of beauty, my bro. I'd say that maybe just on that, just that alone, I don't know, it'd be gutting, wouldn't it, to do it without having him there. I mean, I'm giving you more questions than answers, man.
Tom, can I ask you something? Do you feel like sometimes when I say Tom over to you, which I do every time, I'm not really giving you enough time to think about.
No, I can think on my feet. I always think about this. Imagine if me and Mike White were in a pub. One day that's going to happen, my G. And Whitey came in and he was like, Big T. And I'm like, wait there, Rom, she's just getting around him for once. Everyone would laugh. And then he'd turn around and he'd go, guys, I've got this predicament. I know for a fact I'd be the first one to blurt out some advice and then you'd give more kindred. You know, you turn around. This is basically what would happen. Mike White would turn around and say his problem. I go, listen, Whitey, mate, da-da-da-da-da. You come over and go, fucking £7 a pint, all right? And I'll go, White, he's up to his neck in it at the moment, mate. Don't worry about pints. He's got this problem. And then you go, tell us what the problem is. And then you give
can
your
you
advice.
See, can you see how similar that voice is to your Stato voice?
Yes.
Yeah, you can hear it now.
Yeah, I can now, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you can. And just to be absolutely crystal clear, Michael, you, Tom, and I will not be having a drink together. Okay.
Oh, don't break the guy's dreams. He's always got to change his wedding date.
What?
He's looking forward. Look, if he comes to one of the shows or...
Yeah, look, if you come to one of the shows, we'll buy you a pint, all right?
Yeah.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Michael, this
we'll
is my...
We'll already get like 23 pints anyway, so this is, I'll be able to drink them all, man.
Michael, I don't think you should move the wedding. There you go. I've made the decision for you. I really don't think you should move the wedding. You've already postponed it by a year. It sounds like you'd have to postpone it by another year. The truth is... No harm is going to come from you having the wedding. Yes, there's a possibility that your sister-in-law might go into labour and they're not be at the wedding. But then how amazing is this? You get married and then you go and see your niece or nephew. It's like fucking happiness wrapped up in joy. It's an amazing potential outcome. Do you know what I mean? And the thing is, they might be able to make it to the wedding. If they don't, you know what you do? You sort out a little separate thing. Where you guys just celebrate
a wedding
together.
And a wet in a baby's head and wedding, post-wedding.
Yeah. I understand why you want them to be there, but the truth of it is, you make it what you want it to be. And so
I think what Ramesh is trying to say is family is important, but so is love.
But you do love your family, so that makes absolutely no sense.
No, I'm just saying.
The way you said that was like love is separate to family.
Well, okay, family love is important, and so is loving another person who you spend the rest of your life with.
Which could also be family.
Yeah. No, but you're not going to get married to one of your family.
No. So anyway, Michael, you haven't said what date. When is it? October. October 2021. Tom, are you...
I'm around. Yo, and Mike, if we can't make it due to work commitments, please send some pictures in of the happy day. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Thank you very much for your email. Please do not send any pictures in of your wedding. Thank you. Congratulations, by the way. Okay, this is from Gareth. Hi, Swan, Wolf and Al. I need some sweet, sweet guidance on something I've been mulling over for a while now. My son Aidan and daughter Grace have both started playing football with their respective teams, and I finally got them to start watching the football on TV with me. I love this. It's got to the point now where they've started asking me who my favourite team are, and that their friends like Man United, Man City, Liverpool, etc. But I'm a West Brom fan. Do I guide my kids down the line of becoming Baggies fans in the eternal relegations and lack of success that comes with that? Or do I let them choose their own teams and give them a chance to support a successful team, but know that I'll lose a special bonding opportunity? Any advice you can give me might help me make the right decision. So thanks in advance. Love the podcast. Please keep them coming. Gareth. Tom, I suspect I know where your feelings are going to lie on this.
Well, G-Man, Gareth. How you doing, bro? Number one, I can tell already you're going to love the opening of this podcast because we go deep into football.
If you'd like to hear a sort of a discussion about football that is neither funny nor displays any insight, then rewind yourself to the beginning of this very episode, my friend.
You're so funny. Oh, I love you, Rom. It's a cheeky smile you did afterwards. Right, listen, Gareth. What is football, man? Is it about trophies and medals and champagne, lit streets? No, it is about bonding, my friend. Like, some of my most cherished memories are going with my father to football and you know, going to watch not a top rate team. And yeah, I used to go all over the place watching football with him, but the main thing was just going and having those experiences, those bonding moments. And I think that's the most important thing. I think the truth of the matter is if everyone got into that position where you're like, you know what, we'll just support someone successful, you're in a Super League situation where that's all everyone's doing is they're just going to follow your Uniteds, your Cities, your Chelseas. And football is bigger than that, and it always has been. I think we're joking around there about marriage and family, and I think there's an element of that football brings is that family of the football family being together, spending some time and going watching clubs like West Brom. And I'll go and watch a non-league game now and absolutely love it because I think there's a passion there and there's something that's just very, very special about going and watching a team who are playing just for the sheer love of the game. And don't get me wrong, obviously West Brom aren't that. You know, you're going to be ups, you're going to be a downs. But imagine the feeling of in 15 or 10 years' time, West Brom get to an FA Cup final, right? And your son and your daughter support Man City. And that moment isn't there with them. Because that could happen, right? I mean, look at Man City. If you told Man City fans 15 years ago that they'd be the biggest club, you know, potentially biggest club in England, as certainly on the same scale as Chelsea, Liverpool, Man United, you'd have gone crazy. Because Man City, when I was growing up, were a great, well-supported team. But they were never that size. They had history, but they weren't that size. Things can change in football all the time. And, you know, but the one thing that can't change is, you know, if they go down a road of going there, they're not going to go all the time because I'm guessing if you're a Baggies fan, you live in the West Brom area, you're not going to be taking them to go to City. So I think it's going to be, as a West Ham fan, let me tell you, it's relegations, it's ups, it's downs. But this season, it's so, so special to be sitting in sixth. That's incredible. That's just, like in life, my barometers of success are so much lower. Me and Rom talk all the time about our sporting prowess. But if I play around a golf, I hit one good golf shot, I'm winning. You know, if me and Romesh go and have a kickabout and he scores one header, me and him are winning. Do you know what I mean? Our barometers are so low. So West Brom get up in the Premier League and you finish seventh. You've had a cracking time. Man, remember, just go back and remember the Great Escape. And imagine how special that would have been with your son and daughter. Heareth endeth the lesson, Gareth. You're a G, my friend, and I love you.
Gareth, thank you for your question. I would echo everything Tom said there. One of the things that I think that one of the assumptions people, I think, make about supporting a football team is that if your team's the most successful, you will get the most joy out of that team. And I just don't think that's true. I sort of, you know, I think of my time as an Arsenal supporter. And obviously, Arsenal have been on the slide for the last however many years. I remember when we were just after the Invincible season, I remember if we won a game, right, I would just, against anyone, if we won a game, I would just think that, okay, we've won the game. That's what we're supposed to do. We're Arsenal. If we drew or lost, I'd be fucking devastated, right? I'd be gutted, so annoyed, right? Then fast forward a few years when Arsenal weren't as likely to win against teams like that. I remember we came from 1-0 down to beat Chelsea 2-1. And the fucking exhilaration and joy I felt at that, because my expectations had changed, because of what I expected from the team was different, was so much better. I actually, there was a sweet spot when Arsenal were kind of, you know, slightly not quite up to invincible level, but, you know, still there or thereabouts, top four. I was really enjoying support. If you look at the experiences of going to watch them, in terms of objectively, the amount of adrenaline and enjoyment you're getting, I think it's probably higher. A couple of weeks ago, me and the family were at Centre Parks, and we were watching the second leg of the Brentford playoffs, right? The joy you'd feel. I mean, imagine what it feels like to be a fucking Brentford fan right now. Like, it must feel incredible, right? And imagine being able to enjoy that with your whole family. You know, in answer to your question, my children are all Arsenal fans, right? And they have seen, during their lifetime, they've seen Arsenal get progressively kind of worse and worse. Look, there have been times when my son's looked at me and he's been absolutely gutted at how Arsenal have been doing. And I'm fully aware that Arsenal are still one of the top achieving teams. And that's a very spoiled attitude to take, because there are teams that would die to be in Arsenal's position. I know all of that. But in terms of relatively speaking, my kids are all friends with people who support much more successful teams than them. And sometimes they get annoyed about it. But equally, when the season starts, we're all going as a family to watch them. And we're all going to be like into it. I took my son to the FA Cup final against Chelsea that we won. And he was like convinced that we were going to lose. But it was still an amazing day. I just think the possibility of your kids supporting a great, you know, a successful team and seeing them win the league is so massively outweighed by the family feeling of being able to support a team together. I live in an Arsenal house. And for better or worse, we all root for the same team. And, you know, sometimes that's shit and sometimes it's great, but you're all doing it together. I think that's much better than somebody supporting a team that, you know, they win the league or and then somebody else is upset when somebody else is happy and all of that. I just don't see that. Having said all of that, and I realise the answer I've just given is incredibly waffly, but I do feel strongly about it. Having said all of that, I would be inclined to give your children the choice, really. I would present the argument and I would say something similar to what I've just said to you, probably more eloquently and a little less waffly, and see what they say. I've on occasion, my children are young enough, particularly our youngest, on occasion I've said to them, you do know that if you want to support a different team, you can, because I don't want them to feel like they're forced. And every time they've always said they want to carry on supporting Arsenal, partly because that's their habit and partly because I do think they enjoy us being an Arsenal family. Do you know what I mean? So that is my answer to that question. I hope that helps.
Gareth, go forth. Do you, my friend? You're a G and you've got this.
I don't think I could have answered that worse, really, mate. I should have said this at the beginning of the podcast. I've been shit today. And I know I say this a few times. I have been absolute shit today. And I'll tell you why I've been shit. In about 2 hours, I am heading off to the dentist to get some major fucking work done.
What is the major surgery
I'm
you have?
I'm getting like a big like root canal and then a crown put in and...
Jeez.
Oh, mate, I'm so scared.
You're with the peaceful dentist. You are with the peaceful dentist.
First of all, it's a gentle dentist. It's not an anti-war dentist I'm going to.
Right, you're with the gentle dentist. If there's one person I'd trust to do this, it's them. You're going to genuinely be fine, bro.
I'm just so it's all I can think about. It's all I can think about.
Listen to me, bro. Right? Let's just take this back to our friend Mike White and his wedding, right? You're booking your wedding singer. Right, you're going to go with Ellie Goulding. You're going to go with James Bay. You're not going to go with Metallica. Right, you have gone into an environment where you're having dental work done. Yes, you're terrified because you're scared of dentists. That's fine. We've all got our phobias and fears. You have gone with the most kindest, even in her name, she's called the Gentle Dentist.
Tom, she wasn't christened the Gentle Dentist.
No, I know she wasn't christened that. But look, if she was called the Gentle Dentist and wasn't gentle, soft, and sensual and kind, right? Let me tell you,
you're so excited about saying sensual there, you stumbled on it.
No, look, she would not be able to get away with that name unless she had earned it.
Sure,
it's like it's back in the day when you were given nicknames, or you know, with like Native American Indians, they were named after the things that they were fucking amazing at, and that's what she is. She's an incredible dentist.
Okay,
right. I want you to walk in there. I want you just to hold both her hands, look her in the eye, and just say, "Please take care of me."
I don't think I'm going to hold her hands, mainly because they're going to shortly be in my mouth.
Right. Just walk. Okay, walk in. Just say, "What's her name again? Her real name?"
Tony.
Right, Tony. You just walk in and go, "Tony, sorry, just before we start this procedure, I just want to say something. I'm gravely worried. I'm terrified. Can you give me your 100% word that you will be gentle, as your name suggests? I swear now."
And also be a dentist. I want it to be both of those things.
Yeah, right. She will look you back in your eye and she'll go, "Ramesh, I've got this. It's what I do. I'm the gentle one."
Okay, I'll be honest with you, Tom. If she looks me back in the eye and says that to me, I will be concerned. I will actually say to her, "Are you high?"
Right, you will lay down, you know. I don't know whether they play with your hair or they stroke your beard or whatever.
No, they don't.
Right. Like, yeah. Mate, it's the same thing as when I take my dog to the vets. He hates it. We make an experience. We tickle him. We have some fun with him, you know. And then you take him a few times, he gets used to it.
What a lovely example to give. Thank you, Tom.
I'm just saying, right? You are going to the best person to be gentle with you.
All right, thank you.
Right?
So on behalf of the owl, I just want to apologise to you guys listening to this because...
You're doing a disservice. I think you've been lovely. No, I think you're nervous.
I've been terrible. Like that.
Do not wear white underpants. In case you see it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, go back to my story at the top.
No, I know what you were doing. Why'd you have to do that?
No, because you're not 100% with it.
So no, I'm with it enough to... I know what a callback is. Fucking hell. You just literally undermined everything you said. I think you've been great today, by the way. You know, you're going to shit yourself. But that's a callback to a joke I made earlier on, where I was talking about it earlier on in the podcast. That's how little you think of me and my performance today.
No, it's not. I think you've been great, okay? I think every listener who cares about the owl will be sending in lovely advice and lovely things for you to do and sort of checking in on you, okay?
All right.
We're not two solo animals sprinting through the woods. You know, this is part of a tribe of animals going through this together.
You couldn't think of one word that applies to animals, could you? For a pack, herd, flock, none of that. All of that evaded you. Okay, Tom, can you please do us the honour of taking us out, please, my G?
There was a beaver. A sweet, sweet little beaver. And he was growing up and was conscious that his teeth weren't as strong as the other beavers.
I wonder where you're going with this.
And his mum and dad one day said to him, "Look, you know, why do you question everything about yourself?" And he says, "Look, you know, I've seen like Bruno and Kevin and Raphael are all going out and they are able to chew the bark and chew the woods in such a way that they've made the strongest dams that a river's ever seen. I just don't think that maybe it's in me because I question how sort of sharp and strong my teeth are." And his mum turns around and she says, "Look at me, son. Look at me now. Do you know why you question your teeth? It's because you've never used them. You've never tried to build a dam, so how do you know you're shit at it?" And he just looks, he cups his chin in his hands and says, "Because I'm bloody shit at everything, mother." And she says, "No, you're not, because you haven't tried everything yet. You're shit at all the things you've tried, but everyone is good at a couple of things, including you." And he just looks, smiles, and he goes out, and he takes his first little nibble of a piece of wood. And he doesn't build a dam. He sculpts it into a perfect replication of his mother. And he takes it to their little, Warren house thing. And so she says, did you go and build a dam? He said, no, I made this for you. Because some of us are born to be productive and some of us are born to be beautiful.
Creative is the word you're looking for.
Creative, yeah. Some of us are born to be productive and some of us are born to be creative. Well, we're all born with just. And she strokes his hair and says, keep on sculpting, son, for we never know where that will go. 3 years later, their house was washed away because the dam wasn't strong enough. But anyway, that's the story of the Sweet Beaver. Do you?
Sorry, what did you? Was that the end of that? Sorry, there's a bit where you go, some people are born productive, some people are born creative, and other people are just. And then what was the end of that?
No, but we're all just.
We're all just what?
Then she just says that. That's like, yeah.
That's how she finishes it.
Yeah. No, she goes.
She's got an interesting parenting style. She's sort of mum that says to her son, you're not shit at everything, you're just shit at the stuff you've tried.
No, but he's good. Right, it's like trying ice creams.
Yeah.
You don't like all the ice creams you're going to try, but when you find one, you're just addicted to it. Sure. You know, shout out Fab Lollies, right? And when she says some of us are just, and she just, I probably didn't do the right connotation, but she shrugs her shoulders.
This is irrelevant to me, but I want to know if this is of interest to you. Do you know you can get Cornetto tips now?
What?
Have you seen those?
No.
They're just like mini, it's like the bottom third of the cone, sealed off with chocolate and just ice. It's like a little mini snacky thing. Is that a good, that's a good idea, isn't
that
it?
That is wonderful. Yeah, that is beautiful. That's the thing. I had an amazing vegan breakfast, by the way, this morning.
Go on, talk me through it.
Crushed avocado on toast, seeded toast with some chili and salt, and three beautiful vegan sausages.
Oh, lovely!
Very good, man. Very good.
How do you like your mashed potato? I made. Oh, we can't talk about this now. Anyway, just very quickly, how do you like your mashed potato?
I like it with loads and loads of butter and salt.
I'll be honest with you, I'm deeply unsurprised by that. But the question I'm asking is, how
white pepper as well?
How
white
solid pepper. Do you like it?
Oh, no, I like it. I hate it runny. That's why I'd never put milk in it. It's a stupid thing to put milk in it.
That's what I did yesterday.
Did you? And was it really runny?
It was sort of like a slop.
Oh, no, man.
It's bad, isn't it?
You put butter, you put cheese, you put salt, and you put a little tiny to taste bit of white pepper. And then you've got a mashed potato fit for a king or queen or prince or princess or simply just a jester.
Okay, well, what a wonderful way to go out. Thank you so much, guys. Sorry for my performance on this episode.
Seeing you next time, post-dentist with the owl. So he'll be doing a review of The Gentle Dentist.
Yes, look forward to it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.